Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
WRPS Pickens Jackson.
You ready?
Let's go! 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Now live in the Bank Plus studio, where college football meets the all lifestyle.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is
the Out of Bounds Show with Bo Bounds. Streaming around the world live at the Out of Bounds radio app. And on your radio at ESPN 105.9.
Where are you?
The Zone.
Out of Bounds, 105.9 The Zone, ESPN. I'm your host, Bo Bounds. Man, great game. Kansas State, Michigan State last night, and Gonzaga, UCLA. Although, now my national champion is out. Damn it.
You weren't going to win.
I say that, I mean.
You weren't going to win anyway.
I like few. And Gonzaga. Drew Timmy, he's got to be, he looks like he's 34 years old. I mean, don't y'all agree?
Yeah, he looks like he plays church league basketball.
He really does.
Yeah. And I thought about what you said earlier, the headband. I started thinking, I was like, man, you really don't see very many headbands in the NBA.
But, no.
But it was popular in the ABA.
It was popular in the ABA, and it just didn't stay with the NBA, really. Somebody did text earlier that Slick Watts was able to pull it off with the Seattle Supersonics.
Yeah, I don't know who that is.
And, well, his son, Tony Watts, played at Mississippi State under Richard Williams.
Wow.
And you didn't even have the Seattle Supersonics, because by the time you came along, they were the Oklahoma City Thunder.
No. The Thunder wasn't until, like,
0-2-3?
No, like 0-8-9, something like that. Because Kevin Durant played one season as a Supersonic and then moved to the Thunder, and Kevin Durant played college ball in like 2010 or something like
okay.
that. Yeah.
Let's look that up, Jason or somebody. But so the Supersonics had Sean Kemp,
yes,
and Gary Payton.
The glove.
I loved Gary Payton. He's one of my favorite players.
2008 was their last season.
The Supersonic?
Yeah, so okay. That was Kevin Durant's rookie year.
So, you look at the Supersonics, man, that was a wild team with wild jerseys when I was growing up. They were actually good in the 90s.
Yeah.
It's just Jordan was there. So, you know, they were on the other side, obviously. But
Allen Iverson was the headband guy in modern basketball.
George Gervin.
Yeah.
Iceman.
Ben Wallace.
San Antonio Spurs. Long before the Spurs won. But yeah, it was a big ABA thing. Then the ABA and NBA merged, and you just didn't have as much of it in the 80s.
Oh, I forgot. You know who wore headbands a lot? Young LeBron
wore
headband, and then Carmelo and Paul Pierce.
Carmelo did.
He was
no
a headband
doubt.
Guy. He wore a headband at Syracuse, if I'm not mistaken.
He did when they won it in 2003.
Had no hair. It was crazy.
Yeah. I think it's a good look. I do.
Would you be a headband
Drew
guy?
Drew Timmy? No. But Drew Timmy can pull it off.
Yeah.
With Gonzaga.
You know who wore a headband that I loved that was like an ancillary character, but because he played for my team? Jason Terry.
Yeah.
Jason Terry.
He's a good guard.
Used to wear a headband.
He was on your Mavericks title team.
So this guy wasn't on the title team, but he wore a headband, and he also did something weird. Nick Van Exel.
Yes.
You remember him? So he wore a headband.
Had a Cincinnati Huggy Bear coach team.
He also wore long high socks,
and he
shot his free throws from the very back of the free throw section where it was like a three-pointer.
That's right.
Because that's how he liked to shoot. So he didn't shoot free throws from the free throw line. He shot it from the back of the arc.
I remember
which
that.
Which was always a wild thing to me. I was like, this is nuts.
Van Exel played at the Natty.
Yeah.
Under Huggy Bear.
Nick Van Exel, baby.
Yeah.
There's a name good nobody player. Else in Mississippi radio will be dropping today.
Who?
Nick Van Exel.
Nick Van Exel, man, that guy. Oh, gosh. Those are some good times. Gary Payton, Sean Kemp. You mentioned Rasheed Wallace.
And Ben.
Yeah. Yes.
Ben wore the headband with the big fro.
Which looked really cool.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was kind of a Dr. J throwback style. You know,
it was. I
mean, Jay had a different type of fro, but
yeah.
Similar big hair headband. Yeah.
Man, I love that. It was at 82 or 83, the Philadelphia 76ers won with Dr. J, Andrew Toney, and Mo Cheeks. And
that was pre my time.
Bobby Jones, something Jones.
Will's right. How do we forget Vince Carter? One of the greatest dunkers of all time.
Vince Carter was magnificent. Played for like 25 years. Yeah.
Was in Toronto forever. And,
yeah, well, that was the problem.
Had the headband.
If you dropped him at a better basketball city, it's a different
deal. Those Raptors, those 90s Raptors uniforms with the giant dinosaur on them were awesome.
Yeah. And they were awesome in a terrible way.
Correct. Like, it was amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he got lost up there.
For sure.
So even though he was highly, highly productive.
We talk about
did
that.
Tracy McGrady wear a headband?
Yes.
I think he did.
For the Rockets and for the Magic, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. T-Mac.
Dude. And did Penny?
Oh, I can't remember. Penny Hardaway
may have had a headband run.
Should Penny start coaching with a headband on?
Yes.
I think that'd be sick.
Absolutely. All right, we've got a big giveaway today. It's National Cocktail Day. You can text us on your favorite cocktail. On the agup.com text line, 601-885-3776. And you'll be entered to win a Whiskey 61 bar pack. And I'm talking, we've got cool stuff from Patron Tequila, Long Branch Bourbon, and Tito's Vodka. And don't forget, you can start your kind of late morning, early lunch tomorrow at Two Brothers in Stark, Vegas, Mississippi with the Tito's Vodka Bloody Mary. And three or four orders of wings to get ready for the day. I think Mississippi State is at 2:00 tomorrow.
Yeah.
Assuming, and they moved the game up an hour today.
Yeah, assuming weather holds, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll see how that looks. Be careful in Oxford and Starkville, but have a magnificent time. As far as National Cocktail Day, Kevin had a great point. An Aperol Spritz.
Oh.
It's one of the top 10 cocktails in the world. And you're seeing more and more of them on tables in America. In Europe, they're on every table. And he's right. Prosecco, Aperol, and a splash of club soda is fabulous. And I highly, highly recommend an Aperol Spritz. Robert St. John's new restaurant, Enzo, in the Renaissance, they have like 40 bottles of Aperol in their bar, and it looks really cool with the lighting in the back.
So there was a study done by
by Ken Francis?
I don't know. Yeah, Ken Francis, right? Yeah. That name doesn't even sound real. Ken Francis is the name Hugh Freeze would have bought his burner phone under if he had been smart.
Yes.
The Drinks International, which is like a trade publication for the alcohol industry, did a survey of the top 50 best-selling cocktails worldwide. So they went to major cities across the world, surveyed, and got basically kind of inventory information from bars, right? How much are you ordering? How much are you selling? That kind of thing, right? To try to come up with cocktails that are most sold. So we've mentioned one, the Old Fashioned. It came in at number 2 worldwide.
That doesn't surprise me.
Number 1 is one we have not mentioned, but we've had made for us in studio.
Oh, I know.
You know it.
Negroni?
Yep.
Yeah.
A Negroni was number 1 worldwide cocktail. Most sold cocktail in 2021 was a Negroni.
When Kevin and them come in from Kessler, it's a fabulous. Well, Nate Dogg's made it for us, too.
Correct.
With Briarwood Wine and Spirits.
Different styles.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what I like about it, when a cocktail can be made in different styles.
Yeah.
And still excellent.
Correct.
Yeah.
So,
okay. Fair enough.
Negroni was 1. Old Fashioned was 2. Dry Martini was 3.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Margarita was 4.
Sure.
So we're right there. I mean, this is the wheelhouse. Daiquiri was 5. That was a little surprising to me. I thought it'd be lower down the list.
Daiquiri was 5.
Aperol Spritz was 6.
Dude, those things are so good.
Espresso Martini was 7.
Yep. Tito's Vodka Espresso Martini.
Manhattan 8, Mojito 9, and Whiskey Sour 10. So we were all over the top 10 this
time. When these people text in Long Island iced tea, I can guess how old they are. They're my age or older. First of all, Long Island iced teas are nasty. But, you know, it's something that you drink when you don't know how to drink, I think is maybe the way
like
to put
Dr.
it.
Dr. Pepper, kind of.
Yeah. Actually, you know, it's just, all right. Anyway, the Out of Bounds Show is brought to you by Rick's Pro Truck in Gluckstadt. RPTRicksProTruck.com. Jeep, truck, SUV accessories, baby. RPT in Gluckstadt. I have to tell you about this game-changing product I use before a night out with drinks. It's called Z-Biotics. Every time I have a Z-Biotics before I drink, I notice a difference the next day, even after a night out. For example, when we smash steaks and drink bourbon and so on, I do it without worry because of Z-Biotics. You should too. Go to ZBiotics.com/OOB to get 15% off your first order when you use OOB at checkout. ZBiotics is backed with 100% money-back guarantee. So if you're unsatisfied for any reason, they'll refund your money. No questions asked. Remember to head to ZBiotics.com/OOB and use the code OOB at checkout for 15% off. Thank you, ZBiotics, for sponsoring this episode and our good times. Cheers. Hey, y'all. You know I love my meal kits from Home Chef. Home Chef is awesome. Wendy and I love it. We've ordered the meals. Empty Nesters makes it easy for delicious, nutritious meals brought to you by Home Chef. For a limited time, Home Chef is offering my listeners 18 free meals plus free dessert for life. And of course, free shipping on your first box. Go to homechef.com/OOB. That's homechef.com/OOB for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. You heard that right. homechef.com/OOB. We love it. You'll love it. Wendy and I love it. Check out Home Chef today. Ken Francis is not Lamar Jackson's agent, but
somebody should
be. He was posing as one maybe this week. You know how many guys have claimed to be agents over the years?
We have some on our text line. Just going to leave it at that.
I mean, we talk about third-party flesh peddlers who claim to be training kids. And they're just looking for kickbacks on recruiting and driving kids to a certain school. But the whole agent game is pretty wild, entertaining, sad, and fascinating.
But when you see an example of a player choosing to not use an agent and then things unraveling, that there is a reason why these guys do what they do.
Sure.
In terms of agents.
Sure. I mean, it's a good agent with a good agency.
Yeah. And it keeps you at arm's length to where player and team can still remain lovey-dovey, fuzzy feelings, we love you, you love us type thing. And the agent and the team's representatives can get dirty, right? Can make it a personal thing. Lamar Jackson's situation is getting real messy, real muddy. The least surprising thing about the story yesterday, which we're referencing, is Ken Francis is an entrepreneur and inventor who apparently was negotiating for Lamar Jackson with NFL teams, which he's not legally allowed to do in the NFL structure. The least surprising thing about this story wasn't that Lamar Jackson had bad advice or bad people around him, or that he was now endorsing what can only be a Ponzi scheme workout group. The least surprising thing was that Ken Francis was, quote unquote, a Florida man.
Right.
That was the, if you were like, hey, somebody's impersonating an agent at the NFL level, I'd be like, is he from Florida? That's like exactly what I expected.
Ken Francis.
It's a fake name. It's not even a real name. Ken Francis. It sounds like the name for a D-list wrestler from the 90s.
True.
Like Ken Francis would be a martial arts expert who just gets beaten up by the next up-and-coming star every time. Mm-hmm. He's like 1 in 36 in the WWF. Ken Francis. Runs like a sketchy laundromat service and South Jackson that you don't know anything about, and like somehow drives cars that are way more expensive than you could ever imagine.
I agree on all that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just doesn't sound like a real name. Ken Francis.
Sports agent.
Yeah. Well, not really, as the NFL showed you. It does bring up a great point. If you could pretend to be anything, you know, George Costanza for Seinfeld always had the great running gag of he always pretended to be an architect.
Sure.
And, you know, Jerry does the scene where he's like, I told her you were a marine biologist. He's like, marine biologist? You knew I've always wanted to pretend to be an architect. Which is a great line. Not always wanted to be an architect, always wanted to pretend to be an architect. So Ken Francis living the dream, pretending to be an agent. I mean, it brings up a great point. What would you want to pretend to be for a day?
What would I want to pretend to be?
Rock star? I mean, that could be a great one.
Yeah.
So like go to Vegas and pretend to be some celebrity. That could go well for 24 hours.
I think people do that on a daily basis.
Absolutely.
In Las Vegas.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Let's see. So celebrity, I don't think I could pass for a pro wrestler.
No. You could be a pro golfer, though.
I could be a pro golfer.
I think you could fake a day at, like, Augusta. As a pro. You'd be about six holes in, and they'd go, who is this guy?
Right, but I can put all the golf gear on and look the part.
Correct.
You know?
And body-wise.
Combination of what? Peter Millar and Lululemon?
Yeah. I mean, you have a Jim Furyk look going on already.
Yeah.
I could see that. Like the Russell's Reserve pullover you're wearing, that would go great on the golf course.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I could see pro golfer, but I don't know that that would be the most fun thing to pretend to be.
I don't think it would.
No.
I don't think it's...
Unless you're getting into
I watched the Netflix series on being a PGA golfer.
Yeah.
It's not as awesome as we thought it was.
Unless you get into like, you could sneak into the Augusta dinner, like the Champions dinner.
Yeah. Well, that's a different deal.
If you could pretend to be a Masters champion for a day, there you go.
Or, no, that's what I would like to do.
Yeah.
Pretend to be a member of Augusta National.
Yeah. Just get a membership day. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, that'd be pretty sweet. Fake it till you make it, right?
And have access.
I bet I could pretend to coach baseball.
Yeah.
Probably better than some people are coaching baseball.
Yeah, I think so.
I could do that.
I could pretend to be an athletic director.
Oh. I do that all the time. On the message boards.
You do not.
Let's see. I'm trying to think of what else would be fun. I mean, this is a great Ken Francis. He's a Florida.
For our listeners, he's buddies with Lamar Jackson.
Maybe.
And was trying to represent Lamar Jackson as an agent.
Which is against the NFL guidelines and policies,
right?
And all
he's
that
not
stuff.
Registered. Yeah. I don't want to surprise you. He's not registered as an agent.
I think the funny
Good
part
hell.
About this is there anything.
I'd like to try to be like a nuclear engineer.
Oh,
and see how
God.
Long they would buy
30
that.
30 seconds.
Oh,
you'd
yeah.
open your mouth and they'd be like, nope.
Man.
That's not you.
Because that sounds real.
Yeah.
You know,
I dated a girl
level.
Whose parents were government nuclear engineers.
Yeah.
In D.C.
They were probably with the CIA.
It was crazy, actually, what they did. Yeah. You know, it's great. Is there anything more sketchy than someone who labels themselves as an entrepreneur or inventor? Like, Ken Francis's like little bio is that he's an entrepreneur and inventor. All I hear when I hear that is scam artist.
I'm with you.
Con man.
But
Ponzi scheme.
About every 18th person on Instagram is an entrepreneur / inventor.
Influencer.
Yeah, influencer.
Right. That's the new entrepreneur was the word for what people have been doing for the last 20 years.
Right.
The new word for the same thing
right.
is now influencer.
That's right.
I don't know what it was in the like 80s and 90s.
There
I'm
wasn't
sure,
one.
There had
I mean,
to be
I mean we didn't have the bells and whistles to communicate that way.
Well, that's true. But you still probably had like guys who sold themselves as that type of person, right? Because an influencer
as, like,
and an entrepreneur.
Shysters?
Correct.
Yeah.
It's the guy who works really hard and you never see any work, right?
Yes.
The guy who puts on a festival and then scams everybody out of the money and then the festival falls apart.
Like that Netflix deal.
Firefest.
Down in Bahamas.
Firefest.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I watched that.
Exactly. Absolutely.
That was incredible.
Look, we've seen some pro sports leagues that were operated that way, kind of as Ponzi scheme fronts.
You had a timber deal here.
I'm just throwing it out
a couple
there.
Of years ago.
I'm just throwing it out
there. Was a ton of people in it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I'd like to pretend to be an NFL agent. That'd be pretty fun.
Yeah.
Wine and dine with some owners and stuff like that. I could pretend to be a hell of an agent.
A lot of people pretend to be sports talk radio hosts.
I do it every day.
Okay. All right, let me tell you about what's happening at Mudbugs this weekend. It's the Mudbugs Bash. You got me? Mudbugs Bash Saturday. And it's the one, the Mudbugs on Old Fannin Road near Havana Smoke Shop by the reservoir. All right, Mudbugs Bash. This weekend they have live music from 12 to 10 p.m. Live music all day. Amazing crawfish, amazing shrimp. And there it is. The 10th annual Mudbugs Bash is this weekend. Celebrating 21 years in business, the Mudbugs on Old Fannin Road. Mudbugs on Old Fannin Road. So check it out. Oh, God. We picked up some Sunday, Blake.
I'm jealous.
Yeah. Wendy was coming in town from the beach, and I was here, and so I went out and grabbed a sack of crawfish and some shrimp.
I just was telling somebody
yesterday. And some mushrooms.
Yeah, I was just telling somebody yesterday I wanted to get crawfish.
Oh, man. It was so good. Right on time.
Yeah, I'm jealous.
Even though it was cold.
I'm jealous. So this weekend will be, I think tomorrow will be a great day to go get crawfish. I mean, it should
absolutely
be good.
Yeah. It looks like for the St. Patrick's Day Parade and for the Mudbugs Bash.
I forgot about that.
The weather is cooperating. Now, whatever's coming through tonight, be careful.
Nobody's asked me to be on a float yet. You think it's too late?
No.
Okay.
No. Actually, look, the way those people consume beverages, you can just walk on one.
That's true.
And they'll think you're supposed to be there.
That's true.
You know?
I probably could.
Yeah. That's not a problem. Just walk up and say, yeah, I know Craig.
I'm with Jimmy.
Yeah. And they'll just be like, all right, cool.
I'm with Ken Francis.
I'm with Ken Francis. All right, well, come on. Throw beads. Grab a beer. Have a great time. Show is brought to you by Edwin Watts Golf Shop on County Line Road. Take your golf game to another level. Before you go to Dancing Rabbit Golf Club, you want to go to Edwin Watts Golf Shop. Also, don't forget about the charbroiled oysters at Drago's on the property of the Hilton Jackson. Drago's charbroiled oysters and gumbo. Smash some of that this weekend. We'll be back in a second.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Press the button, my friend.
The Out of Bounds Show is live from the Whiskey 61 Lounge in the Bank Plus Studio.
Check it out.
Your SEC Insider Hit this morning is brought to you by Tito's Handmade Vodka, straight out of Austin, Texas. American made. You can find it at Briarwood Wine and Spirits, among every other wine and spirit shop in the state of Mississippi. This is ESPN 105.9 The Zone. And we are streaming live right now on YouTube. Search Out of Bounds Sports. And we're also on the Out of Bounds radio app. We want to welcome in our friend Tom Luganville, National College Football Analyst with ESPN Recruiting and such. Former Power 5 quarterback back in the day. Wasn't but a couple of years ago. Tom Luganville, good morning. What's up, buddy?
Yeah, a year or two, you know, it hasn't been long at all.
Hey, you know, I was thinking about that. I cut my finger on my door this morning, on my car door. And, you know, when you do that kind of stuff as you get older, it just, it multiplies or something. It's amplified. I don't know what to say. I mean, I was like, I'm bleeding all over myself and it's dark and I'm driving in and I don't know that I'm bleeding. And then I'm up here, and as you can imagine, we don't have a first aid kit up here in the studio because it's a bunch of guys. And I did find some Band-Aids, so I was just thinking about that at 40-something years old.
So how did you do that? Like, how do you cut your finger on your car?
So there's this inside part of my door. I drive a Yukon Denali. And
okay.
And there's a spot where I open it up, and every time I'm doing this, I'm getting in my car, pitch black dark, you know, And so I'll do this about every 3 months. I cut the same finger. It's unbelievable. I don't, you would think that I would figure it out, but I don't.
At least you're consistent.
That's a good point. Speaking of consistent, I saw where Laremy Tunsil signed for $75 million, 3 years. And I wanted to ask you, since you've been evaluating prospects for ESPN, who is the best offensive lineman you ever evaluated coming out of high school?
Coming out, it would have been either him or the big 6'9 guy that went to Alabama, and I don't know why his name, Evan Neal.
Evan Neal.
Evan Neal.
Okay.
Yeah. And I would say Cam Robinson's up there, too. Robinson was in that mix.
Did you have Laremy Tunsil in the Under Armour game?
We did not. Actually, he played in the Army game.
Okay. Okay. I just remember what a big deal that was.
For lack of trying.
No, I get it. He was committed to Georgia forever, and Ole Miss came in and got him. I remember what a big deal. He literally started from day one at left tackle. You know how hard that is to do in the SEC, Luke.
Oh my goodness. It's hard anywhere. I mean,
that's a good point.
Going to high school to college, that learning curve is so steep, Bo. I mean, it is like, it's hard on a quarterback to play as a freshman, but if you're an offensive lineman, you're an offensive tackle, and you're being asked to play, particularly in a line of scrimmage conference, I mean, you're that is a tall, tall task.
I'll never forget the Egg Bowl that year, 2013. The two best players on the field were true freshmen. So this is 12 games in. Laremy Tunsil and Chris Jones, late November.
Yeah.
And they're the two best players on the field, and they're true freshmen. They're not. Laremy was more refined, but they may not have been, you know, seniors and so on, but they were the two. How about this? They were the two most talented players on the field. How about that, Tom? I remember sitting there in the stadium that night going, wow.
Right. And they're statistical anomalies, though. I mean, think about how many players come in to play college football at any level, all the way down to NAIA, all the way up to the elite Power Five programs. How many players have stepped on the field as true freshmen and been the best player on the field between both teams? I mean, that's like 0.00008% of freshmen that would even have a chance to play that could have that type of an impact.
He's 28 years old, Laremy Tunsil. Lukes, he just signed a 3-year, $75 million deal that includes $60 million fully guaranteed.
I tell you, man, and you hear me say this at the high school level too, there is such a dearth of high level premium position players in terms of sheer numbers that if you think you have one or you think you have access to one, you're going to be willing to overpay.
Mm-hmm.
You just are. And look around the NFL right now. I mean, every one of these ownership groups or individual owners are trying to ensure that they make good business decisions that make sense financially, not only for the player, but for the organization. And, you know, Cleveland went and screwed it all up. So now every player on the market thinks they're worth, you know, A, B, C, D, or E, and they want it all up front, right? And they want it all guaranteed. They want it guaranteed in the most dangerous sport on the planet with a huge, huge injury factor involved. And some of these guys that are out there wanting some of this stuff have a history of being injured.
Sure.
And it's like, what is going on here?
I actually think that's what makes the NFL so good. And over, I mean, it fewer games in the rectangular field that fits TV perfectly. And you know all about this, calling college games. But I see some of our colleagues talking about how, well, all these contracts should be guaranteed in the NFL. I'm sitting there going, no, because the NBA and Major League Baseball does it. And let's just be honest, a lot of players become lazy. I mean, they know, hey, I got 6 years X. It's guaranteed. It doesn't matter how I perform. dude, in the NFL, you know, you get a couple years into your contract and you're sitting here thinking, damn, there's an out for the team. I just think there's always a sense of urgency for the most part, not all the players, but there's always a sense of urgency going into those July camps. And I think that's why the league is so damn good.
Well, and I'll say this, even without guaranteed contracts at the NFL level, have you noticed that, I'm sure you have, and I'm sure most fans of the NFL have you noticed that when you're a favorite player of your team is going into his final contract year before he becomes a free agent, all of a sudden he has the best year of his career? And then have you noticed that the next year after they sign, they come right back down to earth for the exact reason you just stated?
Sure.
What's the motivation? Now you want to start guaranteeing it? That's why, like, you can say all you want about Deion Sanders. Deion Sanders was one of the very few players in the National Football League, and there's been others, but he's been one of the very few players in the National Football League. But no matter how much money he signed for, no matter how many times he was on the open market, he was every bit as good the following year and proved it his entire career. There are very few players you can say that about, and that was without guaranteed money. And so now we're just going to throw out guaranteed money. It's kind of like what we talk about with NIL, right? We're going to sit there and throw all this money at an 18-year-old kid or a 19-year-old kid who hasn't done anything yet. And then you're going to expect him to perform when, because of antitrust laws, you can't put performance stipulations in the contracts. Like, does that make any sense? Do we do that in any other realm of professional life? No.
No.
But we seem to want to do it with NIL and guaranteed contracts.
And again, I think that's why the NFL system structure is much, much better. He is Tom Luganville, ESPN Insider on the Out of Bounds Show, 105.9 The Zone. We're going to switch gears here, drop a little audio. We're going to have some fun with this. I'm confident Tom Luganville has listened to this. But we were back in the Jimbo Fisher-Bobby Petrino debate, and Jimbo couldn't seem to give us a straight answer this week.
And what about who makes the play calls? Would that be him or you?
Yeah, I mean, we'll go through that as we go.
Go back to the back. To
plan
the
on
right.
Him making calls. Plan on him calling plays. I have no problem with that at all.
That wasn't convincing. Tom Luganville, was that convincing for you?
It was just a bad answer all around, right? I mean, wasn't it? Isn't the whole reason why you brought him in, the entire reason why you brought him in is because, number one, you had to, right? That's number one.
Right.
And number two, how is it any different if he's the offensive coordinator and not calling the plays? And whose offense then is it? So I just think that could have been so easily avoided with a clear and concise answer. Something as simple as, yeah, that's why I brought him in. Bobby Petrino will be the offensive coordinator here and calling plays. And then it's done. There's not even a need to ask a follow-up question. But he leaves it out in the open with such a poorly contrived answer. It was just, that was a bad look.
And it's because he doesn't want to give it up. We all know that. I mean,
of course.
Come on, the guy, as you know, the guy's 25 years in either as an OC or a head coach. And for the most part, he's been the play caller. And he doesn't want to give it up. All right, so their second game is against Miami. And I know Miami's proven it in recruiting, but hasn't proven it on the field in a long time. But let's just say that's a close game. Can you imagine? Close game, one possession, game's unfolding, and they're marching down the field, you know, and Jimbo's not calling plays, but as the game maybe tightens and things happen, I just cannot wait to see how this plays out. Now people are talking about over-under on how long before Jimbo takes it from Bobby Petrino. And I think it'll only be a few games in, Tom. Oh, we lost Tom Luganville. He joined us. He was joining us on the Farm Bureau Insurance guest line. Bundle your car and home and save with your local Farm Bureau Insurance agent. Go to favorites.com. Get a quote in 4 minutes or less. Favorites.com. This is ESPN 105.9 The Zone, the Out of Bounds Show. And you can watch this segment on YouTube, search Out of Bounds Sports. Luke and Bill, y'all just went solid. All right, so Tom, I'm giving it 3 or 4 games as my over-under for Petrino calling plays.
Okay.
How do you see it?
Wow. As in until he starts to call plays?
No, I think Petrino, I guess he makes it all the way through August practice. They play something like New Mexico State or something. So they should win. I know they were supposed to do that last year, but they should win. Let me make sure. New Mexico, game one. And then they go to Miami. And then I think it could get weird. So I'm going game 3 or game 4.
Before what? What are you saying?
Before Fisher grabs the play calling back from Petrino.
Ah. I think the answer to that question depends on what type of quarterback play they have.
Yes.
And Bobby Petrino's a damn good quarterback coach now. And I think if they, you know, whether it's Connor Wigman, whoever it's going to be, if the quarterback's playing well, it won't matter. Because at the end of the day, they'll be pretty good. They're going to have good players. It's a tried and true scheme. Bobby Petrino's offensive scheme is, and really, to be honest with
amazing.
You, his scheme has even gotten better since he's had Lamar Jackson, because it forced him to evolve with some of the other principles that have come into college football now that he's added into what he already had as a tried and true scheme. So I think the answer to that is it's completely quarterback related.
Okay, so how does Bobby Petrino's scheme match up with Jimbo Fisher's conservatism or conservative play calling or way of coaching?
I don't think it does. I don't think that Bobby Petrino's just up tempo, throw it all over the lot type of guy. I think he is very efficient. He's a really, really good play caller. They're really good with formations and personnel groupings and shifts and motions. They give you an awful lot that you're going to have to deal with. But I wouldn't call Bobby Petrino conservative, but I wouldn't call him necessarily aggressive either.
Okay.
Certainly in terms of like tempo or things of that nature. But I don't think he's conservative. I really don't. And I'm not so sure that Jimbo is conservative. I just don't know if the offensive scheme and what today's football has become works anymore. I think it's that simple, regardless of what his approach is.
Well, talk to me about Bobby Petrino's personality. I mean, for years we've heard he's dry, he's not outgoing. when you've been around him, what's it like trying to carry on a conversation with Bobby Petrino? Painful?
For me, it's been fine. Now, I have a little bit of West Coast history with him. My dad and his dad, longtime coaches out on the West Coast. He's not personable. He's not going to be outgoing. He's playing things very close to the vest. You'll get a smile out of him every now and then. He's not too dissimilar to dealing with Coach Saban.
Okay.
You just kind of, this is the personality you're going to get. You know, this is what he is and how he is. And as long as you don't go into it with any expectations above and beyond that, you won't have any issues at all. Now, what I have heard is that it's not so much how he is outwardly, but apparently he is extremely difficult to work for.
Okay.
And, you know, you hear that, you know, about a lot of guys. Some guys are very easy to work for. Other guys aren't so easy to work for. I've heard he's on a pretty far end of that spectrum.
Does that match up with Jim, what you hear about Jimbo, too?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think Jimbo's overly easy to work for. I think at the end of the day, they're both very demanding, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
They're demanding. They want results. They have a plan. That's a good thing to me. And to be honest with you, we can you know, criticize Jimbo Fisher all we want, but at least he did go out and do something that needed to be done.
Sure.
You know, kind of like Dabo Swinney at Clemson. Dabo Swinney, one of the most loyal coaches in all of college football, got to the point where he had to make a decision for the program and not for one individual. And he made it.
Right.
And so we got to credit Jimbo for that.
Let's go there then. Tom Luganville with ESPN on the Farm Bureau Insurance Guest Line. Are you sold on Garrett Riley? I mean, I don't know. I mean, I know we've known about Lincoln for a while. I thought he stepped into a ready-made situation.
Yeah.
And so I'm not convinced that Lincoln's great, but it looks like he's pretty good. He's going to get to build out at Southern Cal and really going to prove whether or not he can get it done. I mean, but Bob Stoops had that thing. Look, man, the steak was already cooked. The wine was already open. The appetizers had already hit the table. And I just think that's a different deal than some of the stuff that we've witnessed here in this state and some other programs. So are you totally sold that Garrett Riley is like a phenomenal OC, Tom?
Yes, but I'm more so sold on the fact that this scheme in college works.
Okay.
It's quarterback friendly. It's plug and play. And he's good at utilizing it. He really is. Now, I will say this. The reason why I think he's legit is I actually had, during the COVID year when I was calling games out of a broom closet here in Charlotte, and we're all, you know, none of us were on the road, and it was difficult circumstances. I had like five SMU games. And he was the offensive coordinator of those teams with Shane Buechel that were really good. And nobody knew who he was, right? Because it was a COVID year. It was SMU. Yeah, they're playing some games on ESPN2 at 3:30, opposite of the SEC game. Nobody was really watching him. But Sonny Dykes is just kind of slowly stacking wins on wins on wins. And the offensive coordinator of those teams was Garrett Riley. And so he comes over to TCU, and all of a sudden they have this magical year. He starts getting noticed, right? But I think it started a few years back, to be honest with you.
Okay.
I just think he's really sharp, but more so than anything else. I think that scheme in college, if you have good players, if you got a quarterback, man, it is really quarterback-friendly and college-friendly, too.
All right, give me the difference or similarities between a Garrett Riley scheme that a lot of other guys are running and a Kevin Barbet, who's been at App State in Central or Western Michigan, that's now at Mississippi State. What's the difference or similar?
Kevin Barbet's scheme will be much more similar to Bobby Petrino's in terms of tight end motion shifts. There's going to be a significant emphasis on the football with a dynamic passing game. And Garrett Riley's going to be a little bit more wide open, fast-paced, spread the ball horizontally as much as they spread it vertically. Mm. Because that's really what that scheme does. They have the backfield action, they throw the backfield wide receiver screen. They have the backfield action, they throw the front side bubble screen. Next thing you know, everybody's widening out of the box, and now here comes guard tackle counter, and here comes inside zone, and it really threatens you. If you want to get a sense of what I mean there, if you watch TCU or you watch USC right now and what will end up being Clemson next year, watch how wide the splits of the wide receivers are of the two outside receivers. They'll have guys lining up like halfway between the bottom of the numbers and the sideline. And so they spread you so thin, and you're worried about, all right, getting caught in space out there, but do you have enough bodies inside to defend the run? That's what that offense does to you.
Okay, and between the Garrett Riley and Bobby Petrino offense, where does Hugh Freeze fit in? His approach.
Gus Malzahn. honestly, I think it's he and Gus Malzahn are a lot more similar to each other. I would probably say that it's somewhere in the middle between Petrino and Garrett Riley is where I would play a guy like Hugh Freeze or Gus Malzahn.
Got it. I can't wait to see what happens at Auburn at the quarterback position in year one, because Hugh's been so, you know, damn good to get that position up and running, whether it was Arkansas State, Ole Miss, or Liberty.
Well, yeah, and I'll say this, and I've said this about Gus Malzahn's offense, and I think it's true for Hugh Freeze. The offense is infinitely better when the quarterback is a significant component of the run game.
Mm-hmm.
That just changes. It just changes things. It does. And you can see it. You can watch that offense and you can look at it. That's what's going to be interesting, to see what type of wizardry he can work with Robbie Ashford. If he can get that guy, who's a tremendous athlete, to somehow be competent in the passing game, they're going to be a lot better on offense than people think they're going to be.
I think he's a better player than people give him credit for. He just got caught in a bad spot, and I agree that Freeze can get it out of him. I mean, he got everything he could out of Bo Wallace. And Bo, at the college level, Bo was a hell of a quarterback. And like you, I mean, I know Chad Kelly was more talented, but Bo could tuck it, and he could rip off a 15-yard run, too, on you. And so we'll see what Robbie Ashford does. All right, dude. I threw you a couple of curveballs, and, of course, you hit it out of the park. Have a great week. We'll talk soon.
All right, buddy. See ya.
Tom Luganville, National College Football Analyst with ESPN on the Farm Bureau Insurance guest line. We want you to go to Edwin Watts Golf Shop on County Line Road. Take your golf game to another level at Edwin Watts Golf Shop on County Line Road. It's right across from the Hilton Jackson. Edwin Watts Golf Shop, before you go to Dancing Rabbit Golf Club. And you know they've got the best selection of golf balls, golf clubs, golf bags, and everything else in the golf world at Edwin Watts Golf Shop on County Line Road. Brad Henderson, Ole Miss Baseball, coming up at 9:30 today. Brad Henderson, Ole Miss Baseball at 9:30.